with you weather now. We will have a windy night, gusts of up to 45 miles an hour, a shower overnight, low 32. Windy and chilly tomorrow. We could see a couple of flurries around and a high 44. Back to the Steve Jones Show now on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're voting for the All-Fenway team. See, unlike most Major League teams, our park is 100 years old, which means it has history and a concourse that isn't wide.
So who are you voting for?
Well, you're only allowed to vote for left-handed pitcher and right-handed pitcher in the history of Fenway Park.
Okay, so who are you voting for?
I voted for right-handed pitcher Roger Clemens.
Okay.
Who's the Red Sox all-time leader in victories.
That's sensible.
Okay. I believe he's second to Tim Wakefield now. I guess Wakefield passed him. But he had 192 victories in his seasons with the Red Sox. Left-handed pitcher, I voted for Babe Ruth.
Oh, that's good. I wouldn't have thought that far back, but you can.
Right. Well, Babe Ruth was a 20-game winner twice and also pitched the Red Sox to the 1915 and 1918 World Championships.
And that's when you could pitch, like, back-to-back days, doubleheaders.
look, why is Babe Ruth, why do I consider Babe Ruth the greatest player of all time? I mean, we can get into debates about this guy, that guy. Babe Ruth pitched, okay?
And he didn't use a DH.
Huh?
And he didn't use a DH.
No, but he pitched, right? You're talking about a guy that hit 714 home runs. We all know about his offensive accomplishments, okay? But do you realize that there was one point for, let's see, let me think about this now. One point, at least for 40 years, right, where Babe Ruth held the World Series record for career home runs with 15, I think it was 15 he hit. Babe Ruth held the World Series record for 15 home runs while also holding the World Series record for consecutive innings pitched scoreless, 29 and two-thirds.
Wow. Wait, 29 and two-thirds.
He pitched 29 and two-thirds scoreless innings in the World Series. And also
that was just the series.
Just in the World Series. Okay.
Okay. That's
okay.
That's in slightly impressive.
In the World Series, he simultaneously held the record of 15 career World Series home runs. Right? While also holding the record for most consecutive innings scoreless as a pitcher at 29 and two-thirds. Whitey Ford finally broke that record. Mickey Mantle finally broke that record.
But to have somebody hit as well as he did and pitch as well as he did, I don't think you're ever going to see again because it just baseball's not set up that way anymore.
Well, no, absolutely not. And that's why when I hear Barry Bonds, greatest player of all time, look what he did this, that, and the other. Willie Mays, they didn't pitch. Okay? They didn't pitch. I mean, when you add in the element that this guy hit 714 home runs, he drove in over 2,000 runs, you know, I believe Babe Ruth hit 342 in his career. I mean, 342, big number.
And
you hit 342 now, they're giving you like a lot of dough.
And according to the 1991 movie, he did it a lot of times on no sleep and not very sober.
All right, well, we just described your performance on the show, so, I mean, that's fine. I mean, whatever
well,
you want to do.
But that makes it even more impressive if you really think about it. I mean, if you want to talk about accomplishments, I mean, that's not a positive way to think about it, but, I mean, it is.
Well,
it is pretty impressive.
I mean, but there's still, you can talk issues all you want, but the guy still, I mean, that, you know, you got to remember, when you talk about 15 World Series home runs, and you're talking about 29 two-thirds squirrels in the World Series. This is doing this on the biggest stage. Okay, this isn't a five-game road trip. Okay, you know, this isn't a 20-game road trip making your way to St. Louis, you know, it would be the St. Louis Browns back then, and then to Boston on a train and things like that. This is the World Series. This is against the best that they have on the other side. And very impressive. That's why I consider him to be the greatest player of all time. So when it came time to vote for, they're doing it in stages. You're only allowed to vote left-handed and right-handed pitcher. And these are only players that performed at Fenway Park. These are not guys that performed at Huntington Park. Okay? So Fenway Park will be 100 years old this year. 2012. Fenway Park opened, I believe, 5 days after the Titanic sunk.
Now, there's a statistic for you, a historical note that I never thought I'd hear with baseball.
But it also means it was knocked off the front page.
Well, it would have been, yeah.
It was knocked off the front page. Now, it burned. In 1933 or 34, they had a fire. Didn't burn to the ground. But they had to rebuild parts of the grandstand. Tom Yawkey became the owner of the team. And in fact, if you look to the left field scoreboard at Fenway Park, you'll see dots and dashes in one little section of the scoreboard, the Green Monster. And those dots and dashes stand for T-A-Y for Thomas A. Yawkey, and J-A-Y for Gene A. Yawkey.
You're talking Morse code there? Is that what it is?
It's Morse, yeah, it's in Morse code. It's in Morse code. So.
Now, the real question I've always wanted to know is how much are the seats on the Monster?
They're $50. But you have to get into a lottery for them.
That was the next question. How often are they available, though?
They're available in a lottery. Those seats are actually, because they know they're going to sell them out every time.
Right.
They know that.
Sure.
So they put them up. I mean, it's not like a series-by-series basis, but, you know, those are not season ticket holders up there. Now, you just can't walk over either. I was actually in one of the luxury suites at Fenway. I thought, hey, I'll take a walk down and see if I can at least go over there. No, you can't go in there. Okay, that's fine.
Do they still print on the ticket that if you have obstructed view?
There are obviously some obstructive views because of the poles at Fenway, but there aren't as many as you think. And I've never been behind an obstructed view.
Yeah, but do they have to print it on the ticket though?
Well, if it's for that seat, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean for that seat.
But not for the other parts of the park.
No, just for that seat is what I meant.
Yeah. So
I don't know. You know, I've never been to Fenway, and I've always wanted to see a game there just because of the history there. But I have to admit, even though it's a newer stadium, very impressed with Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
PNC Park, Pittsburgh.
See, and I hadn't gone out to see a game there. Last one I saw was at Three River Stadium, so that tells you how long ago it's been. But that's another one where I have family that live out that way, and that's exactly what they say is, that's a nice park to watch a ball game.
I've been to PNC several times. In fact, that was the last time I was here last June. Several times at PNC. I've been to Citizens Bank, and I think Citizens Bank's very, very nice.
Oh, it's a gorgeous... I mean...
Very nice.
If the game's boring, there's something to do.
Right. I mean, but the baseball's really good, too, because, I mean, they're just a heck of a franchise. They've played some great ball. But I think Citizens Bank's gorgeous, and on top of that, I also do love Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I do. I like Camden Yards. I've gone to some games there. Like it very much. Yeah, I've been to the Metrodome. I've seen Target Field, Comiskey Park, which is now U.S. Cellular Bank, Travelers, Up Down, Sideways Field.
Insert sponsor name here. Field.
Yeah. Insert the. That place is okay. Wrigley. Wrigley, of course, has its own charm. The oddity is I've never been to Yankee Stadium.
Now there's a place I have been.
Never been to Yankee Stadium. My My father and brother went to Yankee Stadium once. My brother's a huge Yankee fan. So it was a doubleheader. They go, right, seventh inning, first game of the doubleheader. My father goes to get food, gets up to the front of the line. They shut everything down. He says, what happened? He says, we went on strike. Welcome to New York.
You know, that was one of the few stadiums that in the 70s where you could actually bring small coolers and food into the stadium.
Right.
And because I remember we went, the first Yankee game I went to was the year, and I think it was 78, and it was probably 2 weeks after Thurman Munson died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was photo album day.
That'd be 79.
Was it 79? Okay. Mm-hmm. I still have the photo album at home. I couldn't remember if it was 78 or 79, but you have the photo album, and of course Thurman Munson's in there, and right. They did a different background for him and, you know, put the dates right. on it and everything. And but that was the first time I had been in Yankee Stadium, and now something I'll never forget just because of the timing of that. But you actually could bring in outside food and beverage at that particular point. I don't think you can do that anymore. But
now, my grandfather and I would go to Fenway Park. And when I was younger, he treated. When I got to be older and I could drive, right, I treated him. And we had a blast at Fenway Park. And they were not, believe me, back then they weren't sold out. That's a recent phenomenon. They weren't sold out back in those days. I can tell you that right now.
What are some of the worst seats you ever sat in? Because I think I can beat you on this one.
Worst? Yeah. I've never really sat in a bad seat. I mean, the right field grandstand at Fenway is not that great, but it's all right. It's good enough.
I sat in behind the left field foul pole, mm-hmm. About seven rows up in the 700 level at the Vet for Mike Schmidt night.
Oh, wonderful.
I had never been so far away from everything and never had such a high walk. And when you walked around the stadium, you actually got to the point where Willie Stargell hit the longest home run
right.
in Veterans Stadium, and they had the big star with the S on it. And then you look back to home plate and you go, wow, that was a pretty good shot.
Right. Right. Well, I've been to Riverfront, Three Rivers, the Vet. They were all terrible places to watch games.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like,
yes.
What the? You're like, this place is it's a circle. All right.
The cookie cutter ones.
And that's what they were. They were multi-purpose stadiums. And everybody's trying to save money. Meanwhile, let's give Kansas City credit. Because you go back to the 70s, they're way ahead of everybody. With Arrowhead Stadium and Kauffman Stadium side by side.
And Kauffman Stadium is so unique for the, as you said, for that time period.
Well, think about it. They built Arrowhead, which is the prototypical football-only stadium.
Right.
Right? And then they built Kauffman, which was originally called Royal Stadium. Right? They built that. It was 40,000 seats. They didn't make it into a 60,000, 70,000-seat baseball park. It was 40,000 seats. I mean, you talk about it. Now, obviously, the group in Kansas City that now everybody is using, which was at that point called HOK,
right.
And Scott Radisic, the former Nittany Lion linebacker, is one of the designers for HOK, one of the engineers for it. Well, you're talking about the 70s. They were way ahead of everybody. Everybody has now followed that model. 40,000 seat stadium built next to a football stadium. Good to have him get a lot of credit. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Actually, I think we just lost Dave. Sorry.
What did you do?
Oops, I did it again.
I mean, what did you do?
There was one button next to another button, and the wrong button was pushed.
1-800-795-9565. Calls after this on WKOK.
The President's Day event is finally here at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Bonus cash plus 0% special financing too. Get $1,000 in President's Day bonus cash plus 0% APR financing for up to 72 months on all new 2012 Chrysler 200s. How about a new 2012 Dodge Caliber with up to 32 highway miles per gallon starting at only $15,630? BZ Motors also has new 2012 Jeep Patriot 4x4s with automatic transmission and Uconnect starting at only $18,995. After President's Day bonus cash, BZ Motors has huge savings on over 150 new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles. So don't miss the President's Day event going on now at BZ Motors Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram in Lewisburg. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust. President's Day bonus cash available only when you finance with Ally or Chase Bank. Special financing on approved credit. All prices after rebate and are plus tax, title, and tags.
Susquehanna Valley RV.
It's the Big RV Show. And there is only one RV dealer who could put this show on the road. Susquehanna Valley RV presents the Pre-Spring RV Show at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds now through Sunday. If you are even thinking about camping, this is the one show you don't want to miss. Huge discounts on all units. The big names will be there, like Cherokee, Denali by Dutchman, Gray Wolf, Wildcat, Viewfinder, Shadow Cruiser, Freedom Express by Coachman, and many, many more RVs. It's mind-boggling. A 31-foot Gray Wolf show price, $16,997. Make plans to attend the Big RV Show, presented by Susquehanna Valley RV at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds now through Sunday. Free admission and free parking. For more information, log on to funrvcamping.com.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to the Biore Skincare Face Anything Hotline. This week's topic, combination skin.
Hi, my friends keep tagging pictures of me, and my T-zone looks so shiny. Any advice?
Unless you want to keep untagging, try new Biore Combination Skin Balancing Cleanser. It laser targets dirt and oil without stripping natural moisture, balancing combination skin.
So with Biore, I can actually look forward to uploads?
Yep, with Biore, you'll be ready 24/7. Biore Skincare. Face anything.
News Radio 1070 WKOK is joining Evangelical Community Hospital to rock red for healthy hearts. During February, we want you to help prevent heart disease and to lower your individual risk. Join us this month for a health screening to check your cholesterol levels, blood pressure, and to learn about the warning signs of heart disease. No matter how old you are, you can begin the road to a healthy heart. Visit us online for more information on Rock Red for Healthy Hearts at WKOK.com.
Final half hour of the show coming up in a few minutes, and when we do, we'll have a brief interview with Tim Frazier about the Nittany Lions. They're bye week at about Northwestern. They'll play tomorrow night at the Jordan Center at 9 o'clock, that very attractive start time, which we're looking forward to. That'll be tomorrow evening at 9. We're on at 8:30 with the Nittany Lion tip-off show presented by Chesapeake Energy tomorrow night. By the way, Bucknell plays tomorrow. They get Navy. Ed DeChellis makes his return to Central Pennsylvania.
Then I think they have Navy again on Wednesday to start the
Patriot
League tournament.
Yes, they'll play back-to-back as the 1-8, yes.
And tickets are available for that game as well. $12 for adults, $6 for students and seniors at the Soika. You can go to bucknell.edu, click on News Events, or you can call the box office for more information on tickets there if you want to get to that one.
Absolutely. And Bucknell trying to make that run to the Patriot League Championship and with it the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So,
got a rare win last night at Bender Arena. Not many people have won there at Bender in America for America. And that was 55-50 last night.
Right. Did a game there. Did a game there once. Years ago. Time I was working with Frank Gardenia. And Frank says, I know how to get to American. We're like, okay, great. And so we're going along in the car. And he makes a turn. And we pull up to the gym. It's McDonough at Georgetown.
Did you get to see a good game at least?
I said, Frank, this might not be it.
Okay.
So, okay. Get back in the car, make a turn. Go. We don't know where we are. Okay. So finally we get directions. All right.
Who asked for directions? That's what I want to know. Who broke down and asked?
I did.
All right. That sounds logical to me.
Okay, I was not going to sit there and wait any longer. I said, I sort of had enough. And so, like, okay. So we finally get directions, and finally, you have to remember, it's a weekday game. We finally fight through traffic. We get to Bender Arena. 9 minutes to airtime. Nine.
Well, and all you have to do is sit there and put on the headphones, so you don't have to set anything up, right?
No, of course. No.
You got lucky there.
Set up everything. Quickly got Bruce Parkhill in the end zone stands. In a brief pregame show, and away we went. 9 minutes to airtime.
And no one knew.
Nobody knew.
See, that's the beautiful thing. That's the one thing that I've loved the most about radio. If people had any idea what happens in like the 5 seconds before you go on the air, you'd be laughing hysterically. You ever see?
Too much happens with us.
You ever see the ABC show Sports Night? Years ago, it was a great show. Lasted maybe a couple of seasons.
Peter Krause.
Yes, there you go. Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman.
Yep.
Yes.
That one was always one that I thought, you know, that's more like broadcast than anybody realizes, where you have an argument and you hear 3, 2, 1, hey, welcome to Sports Night.
No arguments. Nope.
Well, discussions, we'll put it that way.
No, never have had that.
Really?
Nope, never.
Oh, see, you're no
I'm
fun.
I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Never.
Oh, no, there's always a pregame discussion going on that goes right up until the open starts.
Oh, we may chit-chat about something. We're laughing our brains out about something.
Well, that's what I mean.
We laugh about stuff all the time. I mean, but nothing serious. Take my word.
Oh, no. I mean, well, they would have serious arguments on that show. But, I mean, yeah, there's always discussions going on. There's always some bit of funny material that somebody's saying right up before airtime.
Right. But I wouldn't mind going to BU Navy tomorrow night, but with the game here tomorrow night, I'm probably not going to be able to do both. So I'll consider it.
We could get the KO copter and see if we could, you know, make the back and forth for you.
Yeah, okay.
I'll fly it. You'll be all right.
You'll fly it?
Sure.
I'd rather thumb. All right.
That can be arranged, too.
Yes, well, no, it's the preferable way of getting it done. But one time I had to cut down a Christmas tree. I lost track of time. Suddenly I looked at my watch. I said, you have to be kidding me. Same thing. I go flying down the highway. I mean,
I will admit, I freely admit I broke several laws.
Really?
Got back, showered, changed, got there, 5 minutes to airtime. Hey, look at me. How you been? Good. It's all good.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Right. And all of a sudden you go on and go, and good afternoon. Or if the mic isn't quite on, turn noon.
The Steve Jones Show continues after WKOK News on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Tomorrow night it'll be Nittany Lion basketball as Penn State takes on Northwestern at the Bryce Jordan Center. What a season Tim Frazier's ad so far. He's had to do, at times, it seems, many things himself, although he's trying very hard to get people involved. He's averaging 18.5 points per game, better than 6 assists per game. He's hit 62 of his last 67 free throws. That's the kind of season he's had so far, and I had a chance to talk to him about the bye week and also about tomorrow night's game with Northwestern.
How would my week be any better based on how this season has played out for you?
I think it's a great, this is a great timing for us. You know, we got 3 more games left. You know, we can focus on these 3. You know, we just came off, we had 2 in a row, we won 2 in a row, then came off and, you know, lost a close one at Wisconsin. So now we can focus on these next 3, and I think it's a good time to rest, and then we'll get these next 3 and then on to the Big Ten tournament.
You seem to be doing more early in games to get people involved. For you, are you trying to find out early who has it, who doesn't? Is that what you're trying to do, get a feel for the game?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we're just coming out. You know, I'm just trying to be more aggressive. And I think me being more aggressive is opening up for everybody else. And, you know, I'm just trying to find, you know, whoever's open. And, you know, also I do get the feeling I know who's open, yeah, who's rolling. So that'll help me out later on throughout the game.
Okay. Next part, why is this team better at home than on the road?
You know, I think that goes for most of a lot of teams. You know, you be at home, you practice here all year, you work out during the summers here, you just feel comfortable here. It's your fans in the stands, you know. So, you know, it's just more comfortable, I would say.
What makes Northwestern's 1-3-1 a challenge to attack?
Because that's just been their staple for a long time, you know. They've always had the 1-3-1, and, you know, it's very, they extend out, and sometimes they trap out the first pass, and, you know, you just kind of, you know, you can't get the driving lane moves in as much as possible, but, you know, I think we'll be well, and I think we're able to rebound it out of it, so we should do a good job against it.
Tim Frazier and the Nittany Lions tomorrow night taking on Northwestern at the Bryce Jordan Center, and that will be a 9 o'clock start tomorrow night, and 8:30 will be the airtime on the network for the broadcast. What a season Tim Frazier has had so far. He's had a lot thrust upon him. And look, it's a little different ball game too. I mean, Penn State is down, has been down 2 scholarship players because Billy Oliver's out. Trey Lewis has been out, although the door is open to Trey Lewis playing. I think the door might be open to him playing in the game tomorrow night for the first time. He's actually practiced this week. I'd forgotten what his number was. So that's the possibility for him being involved in the game. They get Lewis back. They need another shooter, because when you look at Penn State's top 3 scorers, there's Frazier, there's Jermaine Marshall, Cam Woodyard. Average-wise, the 4th leading scorer is Billy Oliver, not available. Average-wise, the 5th leading scorer is Trey Lewis, hadn't been available the last 8 games. So they have been lacking firepower. Now, at home, they're about 15 to 16 points better at home than they are on the road. That's why I asked them. I said, what makes you a better home team? Look, it's 94 by 50 in every place that they go to. The baskets are not 11 feet high at Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State. They're 10. Foul line's not 20 or 25. It's 15. Court's not 200. It's 100. It's 94.
I think you'll find
it's not 75 wide, it's 50 wide. The court's the same everywhere.
I think you'll find it's the same as in our little gym in Hickory.
Yes.
That's what I get worried to say.
I mean, there's no difference. But they really struggle on the road. So they get a home game. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Rule changes in college football. Kickoff will go from the 30 to the 35-yard line next season, and if it's a touchback on that kickoff, it'll come out to the 25-yard line and not the 20. They are trying to take collisions out of the kickoff game. Also, you only get a 5-yard run-up on a kickoff. So you have to line up at the 30-yard line. You get a 5-yard run-up. That's it. Also means a 5-yard run, less than a 5-yard run-up, by the way, for the kicker. Some of these guys run up 10 yards and go, and this guy throw themselves into it. No. You get a 5-yard run up and belt it. Now, in college, last year, 22% of the kickoffs from the 30-yard line by Anthony Farrah ended up being touchbacks. Best I saw was Carson Wiggs of Purdue. I think he was in the 39-40% range. So, you'll see more touchback. I could see Farrah being the 33-35% range on touchbacks next year, but still 65% of them are going to be returns. Now, the difference is the returner has to make a determination. In the past, of course, you would get the ball 2-3 yards, maybe 4 yards deep in the end zone. You're saying, can I make the 20? If I can make it to the 21, I've now made it pay off. Well, now the decision has to be made. Can I make it to the 26? That 5 extra yards is really going to enter into the decision to bring the ball out if it's only 2 to 4 yards deep in the end zone. This will also go for free kicks, you know, after a safety, but the odds of that being a touchback, by the way, brought up to the 25 are long. I don't think I've ever seen a touchback at a free kick. Unless, of course, there's an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and suddenly you're kicking off from the 35-yard line because of a 15-yard penalty. But this will not go for punts. Punt goes into the end zone, comes out to the 20. You're driving downfield, you fumble, goes through the back of the end zone, ball will come out to the 20. So that's how it will play out. And this will include Bucknell games. Now, the good news is Sarah Bartlett already has the rule down. Thus, you will not have to rely on the analyst.
That's great. Well, we've learned over the last couple of seasons, don't rely on the analyst. Don't rely on the analyst.
No. You guys listen to the high school game tonight. Kevin does a great job. No, you do a great job.
I appreciate
it. I'm looking forward to listening to the game tonight. I won't be able to get to the game, so I'm going to listen to the game for a while.
I told you, I'm more excited about this game. You would think that this is a District 4 championship game. I mean, I am so, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Danville Shamokin at Shikellamy tonight, the other semifinal game. That's going to be a beauty of a game. I'd love to be able to watch that one, too. But this game just has, I mean, there's a lot on the line. I mean, if you win this game, not only does your season continue, but you're guaranteed one more game after the District 4 championship game.
That's right.
And Shikellamy's really struggled to get to that District 4 championship game over the last several years. I mean, this is this semifinal game has always been the stumbling block. And with only 4 teams in, you know, the Braves feel as though they have a pretty good chance. But Selins Grove has just been playing so well. And this series of 4 games, as it will be by the end of the night, has just been very entertaining from beginning to end, even though Selins Grove has led the series 2-1.
Well, now here comes the moment. You know, maybe 2-1, but it comes down to 1 to advance.
That's right. This is the one that's going to, you know, this is the one that's going to matter the most. The first game, Shikellamy wins the Holiday River Tournament Championship. Big moment for the Braves. They get to keep the championship banner at the Fieldhouse. That was great. Selins Grove wins in the first league game. That started them on a pretty good run at that point that put them in position to make the playoffs without having to race to the end. The second time Selins Grove wins, it basically eliminates Shikellamy from being a contender in the Heartland Conference Championship. Now, obviously, the season's at stake. So all 3 of these games to this point have all had some sort of a major impact.
No question. And that this, you know, look, this is what makes it fun. Why we enjoy this time of the year. We had Steve Williams and the coach on in the first half hour of the show talking about the District 4 Wrestling Championship. We had both coaches on yesterday, Shikellamy and Selins Grove, talking about this matchup tonight. And plus the chief was on talking about his team and also about the matchup tonight. Okay? What makes it exciting is that people love games with stakes. Now, people will root for their team during the regular season. They'll go to as many games as possible because they're into their team and they enjoy it. But games with stakes then bring out the casual fan. Casual fan makes the difference in a TV rating. It makes the difference in the attendance of the game. You know, games with stakes, interest, who's going to win, who moves on, who's out. And that's what is going to be happening tonight. That's why this is a fun time of the year. Advancing in wrestling, advancing in girls' basketball, advancing in boys' basketball, the one-and-done feeling. It's a great time of the year.
And that's why, and then you have the Daytona 500 to open the season of NASCAR, and Danica Patrick gets the pole for the nationwide race tomorrow. And that's going to bring out the casual fans.
That'll bring out the casual fans, no doubt about it. She has that broad appeal. That makes a difference in the sport. And moving to NASCAR is the right move for her. I think
anybody moving to NASCAR is the right move. I wasn't real happy about it because I've been an open wheels fan for such a long time, and I like her mentality coming out. It's not always, she's feisty, but it's not always, I have to compete with the guys type of attitude. I got to compete, period. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always kind of liked about her. And that's what I kind of watch it a little bit more NASCAR now than I have in the last couple of years because of it. And I think you're going to find a lot of people are going to be that way with NASCAR.
She brings a different appeal because not only, let's face it, not only is it Danica Patrick, but she can also drive. You don't look at her out there as like, in the early years there were certain Janet Guthrie, for example. Unfortunately, stereotyped. When you're the first one to break through an A, you get stereotyped. And it wasn't fair to her at all. Danica Patrick's been able to at least come along. She won in Japan. Was it 2 years ago? Won in Japan?
Yeah.
2 years ago? So she won in Japan. But see, what's hurt open wheel racing is when the CART and IRL had the split, NASCAR picked up the vacuum, ran with it, and took care of the void.
But the problem I think you're running into now, and I'd love to hear the opinion of NASCAR fans at 1-800-795-9565 and email stevejones@wkok.com. I've always thought that NASCAR is starting to lose its magic a little bit. NASCAR was all about driver accessibility to the fans. And I don't see that as much now with this new batch of drivers that I saw with some of the drivers that came up when NASCAR wasn't as wildly popular.
Well, I also brought the soap opera element into it, too. Rivalries between drivers and things like that. But it's a sport we have to remain totally accessible. Is it incredibly popular? Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Broad appeal, not bad. But I think they have to remember their roots as well.
And see, that's where I think it's missing. I don't think they're as accessible as they had been in the past in going to different races. I mean, you used to see drivers at the signing fence all the time, and now it's more of a hindrance than it is anything else to the drivers. And I understand. I get it. I know when you're popular, everybody's on you for an autograph, and it gets annoying. I get it. But you know what? That's kind of the sport you chose. That's kind of the career you chose. And that's all part of it. And that's all part of the success that comes with it.
So you'll be signing before the game tonight?
No, I have signed before every game. It's just nobody lines up.
That's sad. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of The Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza must sell 45 more new Fords by month's end to break an all-time sales record for February.
And they're determined to do it.
SMC has $5,700 off of a new 2011 Ford Edge. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months.
Take $4,000
off a new F-150. Plus, no interest for 5 years. Sunbury Motors has $2,000 off all 2012 Ford Fusions and Escapes. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months.
Every new vehicle at Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires during this President's Day sales event. Huge discounts plus 0% financing saves you thousands over the length of your loan. SMC has been satisfying more customers since 1915. Why would you buy a new Ford anywhere else? Take advantage today of the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The only place you receive an additional set of tires with your new Ford purchase.
Rebate, rebate, rebate.
Do I hear a frog?
Nah, just me rebating. Oh. It's rebate time at Kohl's Hardware.
Oh, cool.
The one big rebate event is for 10 days only, and the best part is you fill out one form and all your rebates are done.
Oh, that's just what I've been waiting for. The 32 pages of money-saving coupons and instant rebates in the Kohl's Spring Coupon Book. Over $200 in coupon savings, plus 10 days of instant rebates.
Wow, you can get Easy Care paints for just $17.99 a gallon after the $7.99 rebate, and a 6-foot Warner ladder was $44.99 with $10 rebate, just $34.99.
Oh, a three-piece paintbrush set is just 99 cents. But wait, with a 99 cent rebate, the paintbrush set is free. Get Scott's 2-pound bird seed for $7.99, but then get a $7.99 rebate and the bird seed is free. Did I say free?
Rebates.
There's 32 pages of money-saving coupons in the Kohl's coupon book with over $200 in savings and 10 days of rebates. Hurry, rebates end the 25th. Kohl's Hardware. We're close, convenient, helpful, and saving you money in your hometown.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Is bigger better? For hospitals intent on enhancing the health and well-being of the community, there's a lot to be said for working together. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System, with a continuing discussion on improving health care. We live in a changing world where no one is immune to economic challenges, not even hospitals. To ensure that communities continue to have access to the high-quality health care they deserve, hospitals are joining forces, pooling resources, and coming together to provide continuity and stability. Larger regional systems can help community hospitals continue their good work. They can attract specialists, build facilities, and develop programs and services that are usually only available in large urban hospitals. Hospitals working together for the good of their patients and communities, that's a good thing. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock. Hour, only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
A little bit more than 2 hours away from tip-off, Sealands Grove, Shikellamy. Kevin's excited about that tonight. He's excited about NASCAR. Now, Danica's won the pole for the Nationwide Series on Saturday at Daytona. Carl Edwards has the pole for the Daytona 500 Sunday. Football rules changing today. Kickoffs from the 35, touchbacks to the 25 on free kicks, punts and interceptions in the end zone, fumbles out of the end zone, things like that. They still come out to the 20. But on kickoffs and on free kicks after safeties, touchbacks will be the 25-yard line. And the kickoff will be at the 35. So those are the big. Also, you can't leap to block a kick. Can't leap over a blocker to block a kick. And you also, if you lose your helmet, you must sit out of play.
If you lose your helmet?
If you're playing and your helmet gets knocked off, you lose your helmet on the play, you have to sit out of play.
Is that under the assumption that you didn't have your helmet on right in the first place? Is that what the assumption is, or that there's a mechanical issue with the helmet?
In part, and also the possibility you may have taken a shot.
Okay, all right.
So that's a precaution, but in other words, they don't want loose headgear. So if you lose your helmet on a play, you must sit out a play.
In the NFL, they'd be having guys sit out every play.
I know. Well, the NFL, of course, now has certified physicians in there that are checking for concussions. They can pull you out of the game.
I saw that a couple of times this year.
You have to be kidding me. It used to be smelling salts and get back out there. That's what it used to be. Went to the 5:30 workout this morning. Much better than Tuesday's. Picked it up. I thought, the Tuesday was what I expected. I wasn't surprised that Tuesday was okay, but today was much better today. A lot of jump, a lot of bounce. People have asked questions about certain players. Yes, Curtis Drake's out there. Yes, Shawnee Kersee's out there. They're part of the mix. There are 105 players there right now working in the winter program. 105. So, I know people have asked about the possibility of Ryan Kizer getting a scholarship. All the scholarships right now are filled. All 85. In fact, there are four players that had been on scholarship that have been, quote, in the walk-on category. They're on the one-year deal. They were put back onto, quote, non-scholarship status. So it actually went in the reverse. Guys that had picked up scholarships when they had extra scholarships last year fell back to non-scholarship status for them. But, yeah. And Jordan Hill, Justin Brown, they'll be signing autographs on the concourse tomorrow before the Penn State basketball game with Northwestern. So they'll be out there tomorrow for that. So, yeah, I saw the workout. Started at 5:30 this morning. Got there about 5:25. Lasted till about maybe 6:35, 6:40. Then after that, they went for their lift. Now, remember, the players are enthusiastic about what they're doing in the weight room right now, because for many of the players in high school, this is actually the weight routine they were used to. Not saying one's better than the other. Can't. I'm not an expert on that. I'm just telling you why some of the players are enthusiastic about it, because it's more what they're used to, which is fine. But the 5:30 workouts, they'll have two next week. They'll have one on Tuesday, one on Friday, and then it's spring break. And then Bill O'Brien will come up with the post-spring break schedule, which will then dovetail its way into spring practice. There'll be 15 spring practices, with the 15th spring practice being the blue-white game at Beaver Stadium on Saturday, April 21st. That'll be a 2 o'clock start for that. Now, what format Bill wants to use for that, I don't know. I haven't asked him yet. But I did talk to him this morning. He does not like your orange tie and orange shirt. I said, I know.
I'm sure that was first on his list of comments.
There's a lot of things we talked about this morning. What the heck? You know, it's a little conversation with the coach. I'm going to go over and see Patrick Chambers now as soon as this show's over. So I've got a football, basketball, you know, bookend day. Yeah, I got a game tomorrow night with Northwestern. I'll watch some of that practice this afternoon. Watched football work this morning. You know, and it gives me a good feel on, you know, it gives you a good feel on personnel again. It gives you a good feel on who's moving out there right now. They're running sprints today. They're running sprints today, and they do it in groups. You want to know who's first in one particular group that really did surprise me a little bit?
Who surprised you?
Matt McGloin.
Really? That is a surprise to me.
I mean, because you would not consider that to be his forte.
They didn't have him with the linemen in that group, did they?
No, he was no. He was in his group. You know, they do. You know, they have different groups. I mean, you know, but they also have this blue thing they call the tug. What they do is they take an offensive guy and a defensive guy, and they put the tug at the 5-yard line. They grab onto each end of it, and whomever can pull it 5 yards. Goal line or 10-yard line wins it.
Yeah, he said that was one of the more popular things. I remember.
They don't do it every time. They did not do that on Tuesday. They did it today, though. They did it last Friday as well. So they did it today, and the offense beat the defense 2 out of 3 until one of the defensive linemen yelled out, double or nothing. And they put Jordan Hill out there. Jordan Hill was the one they gave them their win. They put out the freshman Jesse James on offense, and I don't remember who the defensive player was. This is the kid, Jesse James, okay, enrolled in January. He's a true freshman, right? I do not know who the defensive player was. I couldn't see who it was, but I knew it was him. He took care of that thing in 3 seconds. Bang, 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 it was over. I think, well, welcome to the team.
There's some optimism.
Yeah. So instead of doing 10 up-downs, the defense had to do 20 up-downs, but then the offense joined them for the last 5 as a unity thing. Been a fun week. Great week. We're looking forward to next week. We're also looking forward to Schick and Seelens Grove, 4th time around. The Chief and Kevin Hurd tonight, along with wrestling updates with Steve Williams and the coach. All tonight on WKOK. CBS News is next, followed by the local news with
CBS
Sarah Bartlett.
WKOK News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.